All right, Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballagher Garden Centre. Is everything all right, Caroline? You need the box. Okay. Do you want to come on camera? Say hello? Caroline, come on. No, she's so shy. Paul, thankfully, Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballagher Garden Centre. You're not shy. How are you getting on?
Not so bad at all.
I'm all right. Okay. Still nilling in the game. Yes. We were talking last week about your cucumber and how big it is, and you've brought it in.
Yes.
Let's have a look.
Yes, we have an example
look
here.
Look at the size of that. That right. is a big one.
So what I got there. That's a valuable lesson for people to actually, if you're growing stuff, grow what people like. We have a pile of cucumbers at the minute.
Yes.
And nobody will touch them.
Really?
No, landed back to us. The girls were lying on the sofa with over their eyes. So there are
no.
like a spam running.
Cucumber sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Ham and cucumber sandwich with a bit of salt. Takes the moisture out of the cucumber. Oh, gets the flavour going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about the height. Yep, that's all I've got.
That's your lunch sorted then?
Just cucumber, everything.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's that other thing? Plums? No,
peach.
Okay, peach.
There.
Right, so we've got your cucumber and your peach in here now. You grew that yourself as well.
That's your air miles for you.
Yeah.
Peach air has travelled about a half mile.
Right, and that's so the one with the big nut on the inside, isn't it?
Yes, that is.
Exactly. Okay, very good. That looks, they're furry them, not things, aren't they?
And nectarine's a nut furry one.
Yeah, and is that fruity?
Yes, I would. Like, it's not particularly ripe. That's just one that's seen fell off this morning.
Okay, fantastic. So all right, well done. That's brilliant. And it just goes to show what you can grow. Grow your own, grow them at home. And particularly, I think, with the peach, very few air miles.
Yes, absolutely none.
You could have cycled that one in.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, okay. What's the story with the weather? What's going on? I mean, it's going to get a bit warmer for the weekend, which is obviously good for growth and what have you. I wouldn't like to be growing anything in Southern Europe at the moment.
No, absolutely not. No,
it's turning into a desert down there.
Aye, it seems to be. Because
the desert, African desert's moving north.
Yes, I was in Portugal 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and it was very dry and very hot at that stage, but that was nothing compared to what it is now.
So how are our gardens looking at the moment with the local weather?
Pretty drab.
Why is that?
It's just generally where this time of year you're expecting a lot more sunshine.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, even though, like you say, it's quite warm, but it's just the sun's just not there to bring out the flowers. Like a lot of flowers react to the actual sun.
Yeah.
As such. So
yeah, that's the trigger.
Pretty much. But the sunshine levels are just down.
All right. Okay. So is there anything we can do other than wait for the golden delicious to come out in the sky?
Pretty much, that'll be the key, all right. But there is a few things you can do. Like the big heavy showers, if there is heavy showers forecast, like tomorrow is to be quite wet, I think, is if you have pots that move them to a sort of sheltered spot where they're not going to get battered. And you give them a good trim back at this stage as well, that hopefully if the sun does shine, then they'll bounce back fairly handily.
Yeah, because it is the 20th of July. There's a lot of summer to come yet, though, potentially. So
absolutely,
they are. There's every hope that they'll bounce back.
Yeah.
So don't give up on them
No,
yet.
Absolutely not. No, it's too early for that.
So if you can move them to a sheltered spot,
just if they're particularly heavy rain forecast, if you know what I mean, it would be no harm to move them to a shelter spot if you think they are at risk of getting damaged.
In terms of, I mean, obviously you talk about deadheading. Is there anything else you can be doing?
Yes, pretty much if they're looking a bit sort of straggly and sort of lank at this stage, you could give them a wee trim back, like sort of slightly more severe than deadheading, if you know what I mean, just to reshape them nicely and hopefully have them ready for whenever the sun comes.
Yeah, and that's it, the last ones, fingers crossed. Right, in terms of harvesting now, obviously in your harvesting, because you've got your cucumber and your peach here, and we've talked through the years, you know, people say, when's the best time to plant this, when's the best time to plant that. What's harvesting now at the moment?
Harvest now, generally the big thing around here would be potatoes. Should be more or less started your sort of first and second early, sort of from mid-July, it'd be good to go. The tomatoes are growing quite well, and even onions and that, you could sort of start harvesting from now on.
All right, okay, and you talked about the valuable lesson that you've learned. How many cucumbers have you gone spare now at the moment?
Funny, about a week ago there was a pile. Now we're not, we're sort of at a wee low, but another 2 weeks then there'll be a pile more, I'd say. But I made that mistake with radishes before as well.
Yeah.
It's actually just a pile of radish and nobody wanted them, nobody touched them.
Okay. We were talking earlier, actually through the community garden slot, and it was by the by, and it's no criticism of anyone, but talking about how, you know, mowing your lawn, if you regularly mow your lawn, really, that is a good, get someone to do it. It's a good indicator if you're away from home that you're, you know, suggest that you're home. And lots of people texting go, well, not everyone mows the lawn now. Now, it was part of a multiple faceted advice.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, wildflower patches, wild gardens, people actually not touching their lawns, is there much of that happening now?
There seems to be a good bit. There's obviously the No Mow May campaign and all. Like this time of year, sort of, there's plenty of other things available for pollinators, if you know what I mean. But no, a lot of people are choosing to do, maybe not no mow, but do it less frequently.
Yeah.
To allow sort of wildflowers not to develop, you know.
Yeah, because Alan O'Reilly, the Carlow weather guy, he was up with us last Friday, and I noticed some pictures he posted. I don't know if it's all of his garden or some of it, but the colour was amazing.
Yes.
You know, like, I think if I did that at home, it just would look a mess, if you know what I mean. So do you need to sow? So, do you remember that seed you brought in last year?
Ideally, if you want sort of the big variety of colours.
Yeah, just the beautiful reds and purples and yellows.
But if you want that, you generally have to sow for it. But directly from nature's point of view, the best thing to do is just leave it alone.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate thing around here, you tend to get daisies and buttercups.
Well, that's it, drab.
If people are looking for wildflowers, a great example of it in Letterkenny at the minute there is, you know, the council office, the grass roof building, sort of just directly opposite it there.
Okay, we'll have a look at that.
That's actually, it's lovely looking at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, all right, okay. That's opposite the grass roof building. Is there actual grass on that roof?
No, it's actually sedums is the plant on it. It's a wee succulent plant. It's almost related to a cactus.
Yeah, and it's orange a lot of the time.
It is. It's just generally goes through different phases of the season, but they can survive 8 weeks without water.
Yeah, well, they won't have to last that long around here.
No, not at the minute, anyway.
I know what you're saying. Okay, right. 7 minutes gone. Australia 0, Ireland 0. Greg, please ask Paul, when can I plant out in soil a hydrangea plant that's still flowering? That comes in from Mary.
Yes, well, if it's in a pot, you can plant out at any stage. It'll be happy enough. The only thing about hydrangea is that you're better getting a bag of ericaceous soil, which is lime-free soil, to go in with it. They prefer that. So, but in terms of time frame, you can plant out at any stage.
Paul, a self-pollinating apple tree produced a single apple last year. None to be seen this year, although there were some blossoms. Mm-hmm. What should I do? What could be going on?
Well, generally, if it's blossoming, it is trying to produce fruit, if you know what I mean. So just try to keep an eye on it at the stage where the blossoms come on. Sometimes actually the birds, as the wee apples forming, birds can sort of attack that, if you know what I mean, if there's a lean time for
food. Is he getting enough food, the tree?
Pretty much. Generally now, you could feed it with a general purpose fertiliser now, and then come about March, April time, feed it with potash.
I've got black spots on my tomatoes, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem?
The most common problem there would be a thing called blossom end rot, is where the actual back end of the tomatoes where the blossom had been starts to rot from there up. What is generally the cause of that? There would be sort of infrequent watering. Tomatoes can be quite fussy in terms of when they like to be watered quite regularly. If you water them irregularly, they sort of grow in fits and bursts.
Yeah, you know I get you.
So they can end up rotting like that. So that's likely. If you even Google blossom end rot, I would say that'd be 99% sure that'd be what it's.
Right. Can I use grasses mulch on no dig?
Yes.
So what are we talking? Just to remind people, no dig, that's, you talked about this before, just last week or the week before, and just talk to me about what no dig is again and what the role of mulch would be in that then.
Yeah.
Grass mulch.
No dig is a means of growing fruit and vegetables. It seems to be a lot of people have very good success with it. It would be you don't actually disturb the ground that you're working on at all. What you do is cover it over with cardboard, and that has the effect of killing off the grass and all, and put maybe a layer of 6 or 7 inches of compost on top of it. And then as the time goes on, the ground below comes into play whenever the cardboard sort of melts or whatever, if you know what I mean. So, but generally, because it's becoming quite expensive to set up, a lot of people use their own compost, which would be the idea of using the grass clippings of that. Grass clippings are grand to use, but they're very high in nitrogen. So what you have to do then is you have to actually mix it with other stuff, such as leaf mould or branches or something, sort of, or a more brown texture. Like, if you're into compost, it's like you have your greens and browns, which is your greens is obviously the grass cuttings and that sort of stuff. So you need sort of an even mixture of both. So grass cuttings are grand, but just you need an equal share of something else to mix with them.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Low maintenance shrubs, grasses for borders, things that will look good all year round, please.
Yeah, things look good all year round. Generally, if you're doing like for a border like that, you want to mix it in terms of have stuff that looks good all year round, but have sort of thing that will become the star of the show for a few weeks at a time. So to start with that, something like azaleas are perfect for early colour. Then summertime hebes, that sort of stuff. And even though I see your hydrangeas for the back end, like September, October sort of time, would do the job.
Is there anything I can plant this time of year to add some colour to the garden? Shrubs or flower, preferably something that will come back yearly.
Yeah, loads of perennial stuff there at the minute that will give you good sort of good colour now and will come back again. Like I said, for this time of year, like I said, dahlias are perfect there. And apart from dahlias, you would shrub-wise, you'd hebe, something like that there. Or even rudbeckia there, the black-eyed Susan, is very good for late on sort of September, October colour.
Right, okay. Can I cut back hydrangeas? It has got very big and a lot of blooms. When it gets rain, it's all on the ground with weight and wet blossom.
Yes, you can cut them back. Unfortunately, cutting them back at this stage of the year, you're going to actually end up losing a lot of your blooms. pretty much. But if it's a sacrifice you're willing to make, it's perfectly all right to cut them back now. The ideal time would be to, whenever it finishes, flowering probably October time around that, or even early in the spring.
A caller says, tell Paul we've went through four large homegrown cucumbers this week. Delicious. So you're going to have to get a little bit more adventurous in the kitchen, I think.
Yes, I did. So look a few more recipes.
Right, okay. Caller says she's got a lot of chickweed in her plant bed. Can Paul recommend anything to get rid of it? Chickweed?
Chickweed, some of the chickweed, there are a few sort of very invasive things like that. Once it gets in, it's very hard to get rid of.
What's it look like?
Chickweed, if it's what I'm thinking of, is actually, it's like a greeny thing, it's sort of a wee yellow flower that happens.
Okay, yeah.
It sort of spreads and there's a very strong smell of it generally. So there is. But something like that there, if you're growing stuff in the beds, it's very hard, like if you don't want to use chemicals or that, where you'd be growing food, pretty much just remove it and sort of keep on top of it and try and get the roots out as best you can too.
I was chatting to someone who got white stone gravel put down in the driveway around the house. It looks brilliant to begin with.
Yeah.
But then what happens is leaves start falling on it and it turns brown and weeds start coming through and... You know, what's the best way to maintain something like that?
Best way to maintain that is...
Because as I say, it looks brilliant day one, but very quickly it can start looking a bit more tatty than what you replaced it with.
Yes, pretty much. Something like that there, in terms of, a lot of the time it is, like you say, it's the leaves falling on, something like that there. So if you actually just sort of, the main thing would be sort of make sure there's plenty of drainage, because if water tends to congregate on it, it tends to grow algae and that sort of stuff. But the big part of it would be to start with, get something like a leaf blower. And actually, in the autumn time, just make sure you clear the leaves off. It would cause a lot less bother next year, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But just sort of regularly raking it and agitating it.
Yeah. At the back of the house, I got stone put down. But I'm going to be tortured here with weeds and what have you. So I put down plastic underneath. It's not plastic. It's the actual stuff. Tram stuff. Put the stones down. The stones were only about one or two deep. And bloody weeds, they'll grow anywhere.
Absolutely.
No soil.
Yeah.
Very little moisture, and it's as if is covered in weeds. They will grow anywhere,
it's just
won't they?
Paradise for them, pretty much. So, and if you try to grow something there,
just presumed no soil, little moisture, stones, you know, and there you go, they will get in anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. What I got. So, something like that there, if it's in a driveway that's sort of weak, or probably every so often would be an option.
But I thought I was going down the maintenance free option.
Yes,
but little did I know.
Unfortunately, with the garden, there's such thing as low maintenance, but there's no such thing as no maintenance.
That's it. One last one here. Finally got apples on my two trees this year and was delighted with myself, but a lot have fallen off, and ones on the tree are going black.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, whenever you sort of do get excited about getting sort of seeing the first fruit and stuff, like, it can happen like that, but there could be a few options there. Sometimes it's insects actually attacking them, and sometimes it can be a fungal sort of thing with the black spots. Best thing to do there probably would be take a few pictures and maybe visit your local garden centre.
Paul, thank you for visiting us, we really do appreciate it. Paul McLaughlin, gardener at Ballacter Garden Centre, was just below us here at the mountaintop in Letterkenny. He'll be back with us soon. Paul, thanks for that, I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. 18 minutes past nine. It remains 0-0 in Ireland's opening game in the Women's World Cup. 15 minutes gone, and Ireland actually really quite competitive. Quite a bit of defending, but plenty of attack too. Right, okay, we are not long away now from the 56th Mary from Dunloe. Mary from Dunloe 2023. It runs from Saturday the 29th of July to Monday the 7th of August. And we have two of the organisers in studio with us. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. Pat Nora Gallagher, Director of the Mary of Dunloe Festival, and Gavin Boyle, Assistant Director of the Mary from Dunloe Festival. Good morning, both of you.
Morning, Greg.
Thank you for having us here.
Right, you can see, Pat Nora, I'll start with you by looking through the, what do you call these things?
Brochure.
A lot of planning, a lot of organisation has gone into this.
Yes, if you go through it in detail, it's 106 events that are on in total. That's a lot of planning and a lot of events happening for over a 10-day period, you know. So it has to be precise and concise and everything. And every day is equally as important as the previous one or the next day. So we have give it a great attention, right? And I have to say, and Gavin will agree, we're getting tremendous help.
Yeah, and that's required, isn't it?
Yes,
is
indeed.
It getting easier or more difficult to run these big annual events, Gavin? Because the Mary from Dunloe Festival has gone through peaks and troughs in terms of, you know, we've heard the stories of we need more backing if we're going to keep it on and all that. I heard nothing like that this year. But is it getting more difficult to run these huge events?
I would say yes and
can you
no.
Move away, just move that way a little bit. Yeah, okay, perfect. Sorry, thank you.
I'd say yes and no, really. There, it has its peaks and its troughs.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, we have brought on board a lot more new sponsors this year, additionally to what we had before. So it's about how you work it, really, and what you give back to the sponsors that come on board. And we want to give them something not only for their monetary contribution, but give them something marketing-wise and promotion-wise back for them as well. So it's, we're working to build it a kind of a better base for that there.
Yeah, indeed. And it's there's something for everyone over the course of the... I can never tell how many days it is because I can't figure off the top of my head how many days are in July. But
10 days.
10 days. Yeah, August.
Okay. August is the big winner of this year. Yes, indeed.
Everyone knows me. As soon as it straggles the end of a month, I'm lost. But you know, it's to balance it out over the course of the 10 days and have something for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you look at a program, generally the way I look at it over the years is you have the opening weekend. That's fine. And then you have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that we dedicate mainly to the children's events. Yeah. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
And then you have from Thursday in, it's all about the Marys again. So it is leading up to the Carnival Parade Sunday and the Crown and Cabaret. So that's basically the way we divide it up. But we do make sure that there's plenty for the children on the day.
Now, of course, Pat Norr, Daniel O'Donnell's involved again this year. A huge part of the success, his support of this event.
Yeah, well, Daniel's name is synonymous with the festival. I'm sure you'll agree there,
totally,
Gavin.
Yeah.
Totally. And he is forever on hand and more than willing. As a matter of fact, it's he who talked me into coming back in here.
No, I was going to ask you about that, but go on.
No, don't. We'll skip that one.
Okay.
He did say, or he always says, you know, please ask me. Isn't that right?
Yeah,
you know,
he's always on hand and he does this off his own free time. And all you
he's
need
personally
to do is,
invested in this. I think it's
very
the
much so,
way to
yeah.
describe
and
it.
Being and honest, anybody that is involved in the festival is personally involved because there's nothing any other way to come back out of it. So he is involved in it and he has
just
a great...
move this slightly here. Just to he has
a great passion for the festival and promotion for both Donegal and Ireland, as we all know that there. So, but he's so on hand anytime we need him. He may just appear when you don't even expect him to appear.
Yeah. Kathleen Watkins is coming to officially open to launch the festival. How important is that?
Well, she's coming to open to launch the Gay Burn Trail on the Friday prior to the festival opening.
Talk to me about the Gay Burn Trail, sorry.
Right. Well, on that, as you know, no more than Daniel, Gay Burn is there since 1964. His name has been synonymous with the festival starting up. And we just thought this might be a nice way to link in the festival, link in his name and have him forever remembered in the area. So we came up with the idea, Gay and Kathleen and family and friends walked through the Rosses, to quote from Alice Taylor's School Through the Fields. Remember that book that she wrote?
Mm.
But anyway, walked through the Rosses and we thought of the Gay Burn Trail. We were in touch with Donegal County Council who came on board. Wonderful idea. So now Kathleen will come down on Friday before the festival starts and at Gwibara Bridge there at the Greenway there, she will launch the Gay Burn Trail. And we'll start off. We have a new N56. I don't know if you've seen it, the cycleway from Dunloe to Glenty.
Yep.
So we will do from Gwibara down to Dunloe. And there's actually 7 different routes you can walk there. Mm. That takes in the stroll, the challenging, and then, of course, in between, there's all the lovely ways. And, of course, you have the Atlantic coastline, which would be a 39-kilometre walk from Gwibara to Dunloe.
Yeah.
And the handiest route, of course, is the new N56. Fabulous. And that's only 14 kilometres.
Gavin, there's so much planned over the 10 days that I don't want to start myself picking stuff out, right? So I'm going to leave that over to you. You're the brains behind this part of this segment then. So I mean, there is definitely something for everyone, but there's some huge events. So take us through some of the highlights for you over the course of the festival.
Highlights possibly we'll start off at the very beginning. We have Maya Brennan from Clannad, who's actually going to officially open the festival for us this year. And we're very fortunate to have Moya this year because it's Clannad's 50th year and they're also being recognised by Donegal County Council this year, so it's a big and it's an honour for us to have
nice
them there as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Lovely
works
time.
Out really
yeah.
well. Moving from there, we have Country Sunday Which is always a big day. Again, we have Daniel Fergal, Sean Cuddy, David James, name but a few on that there. We've a fashion show on the Tuesday night, Ronan Collins and the Showband Show Wednesday night.
That's going to be a biggie. We had Ronan on the programme.
Thank you, yes.
Right. No, it was great to get access to him.
Yeah, and it's great to have him back to Dunlow.
And it's going to really pull in, it's going to really pull in a broad audience that from all over the place. Because Showband... You know, there's not, it's synonymous that Showband era with around here, and it was so fleeting actually, and yet it still resonates so much. Sorry, go ahead.
Not at all. And then we have Honor, the four guys from South Donegal.
Biggest thing in the county at the moment.
We are so lucky to have them. They're there on the Thursday night, and they finish off after the Log Gala. We have our local guy Carl Doherty who organises the full Log Gala from morning to evening, so he's a fun packed day for everybody.
And he does a fabulous job.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, really,
brilliant.
Really good. We've the Garth Brooks tribute on the Friday night, 80s and 90s street disco on the Saturday night. We've a couple of broadcasts with yourselves. David's down one day and then yourself down another day, Greg. And culminating the end, now we also, should I add, on the Friday during the day, we have the Slavic Day. So we have a lot of Polish and Ukrainian nationals now living in our areas, and there's a local girl, Patricia O'Donnell, who's taken this upon herself to organise a traditional Slavic and Slavic Day for us. And we're very fortunate as well to have the Polish ambassador and the Ukrainian ambassador coming to Dunlow for the day. So
now,
it's
before
great.
We get to the what someone sees the showpiece, Pat Noor, in terms of people accessing it, getting tickets, there's no reason why people from right across the region, because there's people travel from all over the world and country to it, that can't go through the brochure and pick out things they want to attend. So is it a case of just getting as far as Dunlow? There'll be parking there, presumably, and you can pay for most of these events, presumably, at the gate in inverted
commas. And tickets online as well.
Yeah, there's tickets available online for anybody that isn't going to be there until the actual day, so they can get them. But there's only so many events that are actually being ticketed or paid a gate type of thing, because we do try to give as much
free
back
as possible, I guess.
And again, that's what we're our sponsors are coming on board for, so that we can give people back a little bit of entertainment and just during.
And I can't emphasize enough for those who aren't aware how beautiful a part of the world this is, how welcoming it is, and how unique the atmosphere is. And I do genuinely believe around this entire festival, it's a very unique experience. And if someone's never gone before, for whatever reason, make it this year to go for a day or an evening or a couple of days, because I think there'll be regular visitors again if they do. I mean, most people probably have Gavin, but all Pat Noor. But I mean, make it this year, because it really is a very special event, I think.
Yeah, well, we talked about that a few times over the Christmas, and that's where we also came up with, let's expand, let's do something different, let's give people more reason to come to Dunlow. And one of the things we came up with was the Shorefront Day, which actually started off as, let's do something fun for the children day, isn't that correct? And then we have bad tides, we have neap tides that day, and it didn't work out, but we still, everybody we spoke to wanted to go ahead with it. And now, as you can see there from the brochure, we have the Health and Safety Day at with all the services, the lifeboat, the ambulance service, the Gardaí, I've said it so often to keep for the RNLI, we've said that, the Civil Defence, the Defence Forces, and Randox, who have the major plant in Dunlow. They've been very generous with their sponsorship. And I'm delighted to say that Randox, the Irish Defence Forces, and the Garda Síochána and Donegal ETB will use the event to promote recruitment. Is that correct?
They all have recruitment drives.
But it's also an amazing spectacle, all of these services all in the one
especially
place.
Especially location-wise, along the shore.
Yeah. Right along
it's
the shorefront there,
really,
we have
really
the pier by the Church of Ireland,
the
two
well.
Sides of the river, the car park, we have all that there. And as I mentioned, Randox there. And as you know, they are a major employer in our area, and they are highlighting the vacancies for particularly in science and engineering.
Yeah,
that's what they were saying.
Okay, we can come back to other stuff, but on to the Mary from Dunlow now. Caitlin's tenure coming to an end. She's done a fantastic job. And there's been a huge interest from all over the place, Gavin, in replacing her.
Yeah, Caitlin's been really great this year.
Indeed.
She really, really is.
She's always been around the festival.
She has.
For ages doing stuff.
It was
a beautiful end to that whole...
Yeah, you feel as if she's been a Mary for 4 or 5 years longer. And it's great to the fact that she did win it last year. And she's done so much promotion and everything for Donegal and Dunloe all year. She's been absolutely brilliant between
everywhere,
New York
she's
and
everywhere.
London.
She pops up
anyway. Yeah. You get a message. I am going to X tonight. As, you're a brilliant girl. Go for it. And she has been just honoured. And we're lucky this year there has been so much interest in Mary's applying in different areas, wanting to apply. We are slightly restricted because we only have a certain amount of Mary's we are allowed for TV and those things. But overall, the interest is massive again. It's great, and it's great to have it.
Some brilliant people.
And our first Dubai.
Our first Dubai, Mary, this year.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, yes,
very
indeed,
much
yeah.
indeed. Talk to me, Gavin, or Pat Noor, whichever you prefer, about the broadcasting of it, because that's really quite significant, I think, in terms of people being able to watch it.
Yeah, we're again fortunate this year that TG Cahar and Gale Media have come on board with us, and they are going to live stream the Crown and Cabaret on the Sunday night. It's starting at about 8 o'clock live, and so if you're anywhere in the world, it's just a matter of going on to the TG Cahar iPlayer, and you can see it straight away. And obviously, we'll be marketing the streaming link and everything for that.
Exactly,
too.
Making it as easy as possible to find it on the night.
We're very fortunate because we are. You're able to showcase both the area, as well, because we're involved with Donegal County Council as well. So we're trying to showcase different areas within Donegal, be it Fannet Lighthouse, Slieveley, Glencolum Kill.
And a host of places in between. Donegal is an enrichment of tourism.
We'd like to pick out 10 good places because there's so many.
Yeah. So we're trying to squeeze them into
the sponsors as well, which is always really helpful, of course. We all know the commercial side of it as well. Right, so is there any tickets available for the likes of the cabaret? I can't remember the exact terminology.
The Crown and Cabaret. The Crown and Cabaret is Sunday night. Yes, of course there is. Yes, and our festival office is opening on the main street next Monday. Our compliments of Thomas Pringle TD. He's given us the use of
the gala ball. Sold out though. That's
the gala ball is sold out. Yeah, but our festival office is next door to the AIB. Our tickets available there, and of course the Waterfront Hotel in Dunloe has got tickets.
And there's tickets online.
I mean, there's park runs. Yeah. I mean, you could go through all of it. There's so much different stuff going on. Hi, Greg. What would be the best road to use to get to Dunloe? Well, it depends, listener,
depends where you're coming from.
If it's Aaron Moore, I suggest you take a ferry. I mean, obviously, from South Donegal, you go through Glenties and up the new N56. From Letterkenny in the north of the county, it would be out past Errigal, really.
Past Errigal, around Dunfanaghy, depending on what direction.
And in terms of parking or where to leave the car, where people travelling in? There's quite a bit of parking around.
There is.
The
and there are days that the street is closed off, but there are parking available in all the supermarkets. You have Super Value in Lidl, and they're all maybe a 5-10 minute max walking distance from the town centre.
Yeah.
So you would never be stuck.
Hear wherever you park, you'll hear the crack and you'll know where to go anyway.
Yeah.
And we do give consideration to the businesses as well on the main street in particular who require deliveries, etc. So we work, everybody works together on it. Right. It's not the hard and fast.
He's all excited now. There's always work to be done, but I think hopefully 90% of the hard work has been done in terms of prep. Gavin's looking at Pat Noor for inspiration.
Pat Noor's looking at
Gavin. We haven't even planned anything.
We're in a vacuum,
aren't we? You know that you can do so much up to.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you have to wait a couple of weeks and then you think, oh my God, we forgot. You know, you can't see the wood for the trees, isn't that it?
Right, so as you said quite rightly, there's a mixture of events as much as is possible. There's freeze events, there's events on the streets, there's events in venues. The best thing to do is check it out. Plan a couple of days.
Plan a couple of days.
And I mean, this is the type of event too. We're a big enough county, but it's no harm. Like, you can travel in and out if someone's, a designated des or whatever it might be, a bus load. There's loads of great bus
companies. We're lucky this year as well, Greg, that not only have we organised a brochure full of events, the various pubs in the town as well and venues in the town also have the programme. We're working together with that programme and with the traders and everything in the town to bring it all together as one rather than doing it individually, which has worked out very well. because they have some great names coming into it, and they are all taking people to the area, which is brilliant.
Yeah, again, check out the brochure, because we can't really mention everything, but the Ross's Ukulele Group, for an example, are playing on the 5th of August. On the same day, there's a children disco where the Little Miss Mary selection will take place, which would be great.
That's a fun day. That's fun.
You know, there's lots of great stuff. Street music, 7:30 to 9:30 by Daniel Walsh, followed by 80s and 90s street disco with a brilliant DJ. That's just picking Saturday the 5th
can
of
we
August.
Just, when you mention like that there, Daniel O'Donnell has always wanted to promote, give young people a chance, because he said, once upon a time, I was young and I got a chance through his sister Margot, isn't that right?
That's right.
So he said, if you can do something to bring new people and young people on, give them the chance.
And he doesn't just say it, it's evident. Anyone who reads between the lines, you can see that he shares his platform with other people.
So we set aside a full evening on the Tuesday evening of the festival from 7 o'clock until whenever, that there's maybe about 15 local young artists just in their early teens.
And in fairness, it's great to see you embrace it too, because you know, you're used to doing it too.
Yeah, so they'll be there too.
So that's the open mic session and local artists, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. I host a wonderful young local talent taking to the stage to show the fantastic talent and musical abilities. And can you imagine, for some of them, it would be the biggest stage. What a brilliant
Buzz. They're so excited about it. Not even that, but their parents and grandparents are so excited about it for them as well, to say that we're playing on the stage in the Mary from Dunlow Festival. It's great for them.
It's massive. It really is.
Ask your listeners, whenever you were talking there about T.G. Carr and all, and worldwide looking at... we have people calling in this morning who are listening to this programme, you know, and Anne McLaughlin, our neighbour in Dunlow, in Nottingham, she's sitting in, she listens to Highland Radio. You are worldwide as well, you know, it's not just T.G. Carr. Highland Radio really are, you know.
But the diaspora is so important, and that's why we don't just talk about them, we try and get out there as much as we can,
correct.
To go and
And what I was going to say there, but can I ask people to look at the programme, be it online or whatever, and look at our Saturday, the Health and Safety Day, and look at the participants that are in that there. And when I'm dealing with all those people there that you see on the list, down at the very, that's the one down at the bottom there. If you look at that there on the list, I have Pieta and Jigsaw, who are so enthusiastic, wanting to come to it, because they are there for everyone. We will never know who, but they are there for everyone.
Okay, so that's the Shorefront Health and Safety Family Day. It's Saturday the 29th of July between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. Randox, RNLI, Irish Coast Guard, the Gardaí, Sheephaven, Sobacco Club, and especially in a coastal area like that we live in, these people are just invaluable. National Ambulance Service, Donegal Mountain Rescue, Donegal Civil Defence, the Irish Coast Guard, the Bombags and Killybegs, Killybegs Marine Cluster, Pieta Jigsaw, as you mentioned, the Donegal ETB as well too.
Donegal. And we have the Moines Pipe Band, and we have the Solace Dancers coming in from Northern Ireland. Just a nice afternoon of entertainment.
The street music, is it a mixture of free and paid, or what's the story there? The listener wants to know.
Yeah, the majority of it is free. We just have a few events that are paid into the Honor.
And
have an entry fee.
Garth Brooks.
That's the two. The rest of that there is really all free, apart of unless they're in Vegas.
Are the Conquerors going to be at the festival? And if so, what day and time? Will they support
Wednesday
Ronan
with
Roland
Collins? Yes, indeed. Okay. Yeah, in the Waterfront Hotel. Yeah. Sandy Kelly and Brendan Shine.
So that's 8 p.m. Ronan Collins sings the show band hits with the Conquerors show band, as you heard from Pat Nora there. Sandy Kelly, Brendan Shine. Sandy Kelly, I beg your pardon. And tickets are available at hotel reception or maryfromdunlow.ie. That's Wednesday the 2nd of August from 8 p.m. So that's going to be cracking out. Anything that either of you want to mention now?
Can I give the festival phone number out? Right, top of my head.
Good luck with it.
Good luck with it. He doesn't know it. 087-1212-180.
Well, in fairness, it's a hand. He's looking
over saying, how did you remember that?
You're not going to get a round of applause. It's a hand.
087-1212-180.
Yeah, and these things rely on lots of different
You're blushing.
These things rely on lots of different things. The great support of locals, local businesses, sponsors, but also for people to get out and enjoy the festivities and support them with their feet as well.
Without a doubt, really come and see.
And we're delighted that Highland Radio are coming for the 2 days.
Yeah.
Really,
I think
are.
We're on the 4th, Friday the 4th, the 9
to
noon show is.
The 9 to noon show
is. Yeah.
David's there.
See, poor David is not even mentioned. You're biased.
Me, I am, of course. I'm old.
David is on the main street.
I'm not like Daniel O'Donnell, supporting and embracing young talent.
David's on the main street on the Wednesday afternoon, and you're at Super Value on Friday morning to do the 9 to noon show.
You're good, Pat Nora, remembering all of that. Indeed, yeah. All jokes aside, the Highland Radio broadcast with David James presenting the Jive Chime Show. Come along, put in your request, and jive the evening away. It's from 2:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. his regular slot, but he's a music show and he's going to have a lot of fun. And we're obviously a fun show as well, and we're going to have a lot of fun on the Friday.
Yes, and you'll do the review of the papers as you normally do from 9 to 10. And Super Value are sponsors there, and they're delighted. They're going to do a host of little giveaways during your program.
Oh, I like it. I like it. About time. Right. Okay. Anything else, gentlemen, that you wish to add? It's just a case now.
If I could, I will. There's two special ladies at home in Dunlow, Mary McGee and her sister Margaret Riley, who have the honour of opening the Burton Port Festival this year, and we just want to wish them well and the Burton Port Festival that's starting on Saturday night all the best as well. It's a neighbouring festival, and they kind of run the week before us, so to them we wish them well.
And
too.
A great honour to Mary and Margaret. They're my cousins, of course, and I love them dearly, and it's a great honour to them. Yes, okay. They do so much in the community for music and music societies, etc., etc.
All right, check out maryfromdunlow.ie if you want to see what's coming up and where it's at and what you can look forward to. We really want to see loads of you down for our show on the Friday, please. We do love meeting people, and also for David's show on the Wednesday, but you can go on to maryfromdunlow.ie, plan out what you're going to be doing, but also if you can get your hands on a physical brochure too, it's obviously Gaelic and in English as well. Okay, 41 minutes gone now in the Australia versus Ireland World Cup match, and it's been even and competitive from what I've been glancing now and again whilst not taking my eyes off my guests, of course. So it looks like potentially Ireland could go in at the break level. We'll keep you updated with that. Right, Kevin McGinley, Superintendent Inspector with the ISPCA, and he joins us on the programme now. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, I read that animal protection is becoming an issue in Donegal, with so far this year 150 complaints of animal cruelty received. Can you put those figures into context for us, Kevin?
I can, Greg, as best that I can. I suppose recently the ISPCA has unfortunately had to take the decision to launch an emergency appeal called Stop the Pain. This appeal is largely based on the situation that has developed throughout the country at the present moment in time after the pandemic, post-pandemic surge, particularly in relation to dogs. We're finding that more dogs are being found to be left neglected, abandoned, or in need of rescue. And as a result, that has put a huge demand in terms of our capacity and our financial capacity and able to do that, Greg.
And of these complaints, as they're described, are they separate to people contacting the organisation and saying, look, my circumstances have changed, I can no longer care for this animal? Or is that a separate set of figures, or are they all grouped in together?
Yeah, that's a separate set of figures, right, Greg. I can tell you that annually the ISPCA receives approximately 12,000 calls per annum from the public for different questions in relation to services, help, and so on and so forth. The figures that you have just illustrated there today of 150 calls there in terms of Donegal, that's 150 calls that I have personally dealt with so far this year in terms of people's perceptions of animal cruelty in Donegal.
And, I mean, they're all worrying cases, of course, but are you seeing any particular worrying trend in responding to those calls, Kevin?
We're seeing, and I've spoken to various people connected with animal welfare, the length and the breadth of the country, specifically in terms of dogs. The demand for dogs throughout COVID was huge. Dogs were being bought for astronomical amounts of money. I did welcome that people were taking on the responsibility at that time to take the responsibility of bringing a new pet or a new dog into their house. But I urge caution that, you know, when things things would eventually get back to normal after COVID, then my fear would be that these animals would become neglected or possibly abandoned. And unfortunately, that has turned out to be the case, Greg.
Before we remind people of how they can help and support through donation, in terms of homing animals, eventually, you can't, presumably you don't want to either, in perpetuity, house many, many animals, well over capacity now at this stage, with further accommodation being provided, of course, and acquired. But, you know, in terms of people who can offer a good home to a pet, what are the options there? What could people do?
People can visit our website in the first instance, www.ispca.ie, go into the dog section, and there are multiple breeds of dogs, different types of dogs there, looking for homes the length and the breadth of the country, and indeed here in Donegal as well. So we would urge people, you know, to consider adopting a dog rather than going out and sourcing or buying a dog in the first place. Our dog pounds are full throughout the country. They're looking for homes for those dogs as well. So we would urge people, you know, to adopt rather than purchase dogs.
Yeah, and I mean, they are true animal lovers, but that really would be an act of love to give a good home to one of these dogs. Right, so, I mean, the Irish public are world-renowned for their generosity, and I never found wanting in the area of supporting the likes of the ISPCA as well. There has been a very significant response from the public, but as you mentioned, you need more assistance. Tell us about that.
Yeah, for example, Greg, you know, we have reached capacity at all our centres within the ISPCA, and unfortunately we had to take the tough decision of enlisting the private boarding kennels, for the want of a better word, which has placed, you know, a substantial unforeseen cost to the organisation. You know, the public have been very, very kind to the ISPCA down through the years, and we're asking them to step up to the plate again, if they can, and make a donation to help the ISPCA and support the ISPCA and our mission not to leave any animal that needs our services or our help behind. And the public can do that by donating at www.ispca.ie or by contacting the ISPCA directly on 043-33-25035.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for your time. Kevin McGinley, Superintendent Inspector with the ISPCA. They're into injury time in the first half of Ireland's World Cup opener against the co-hosts, Australia. Just turning 2 minutes into 6 minutes of added time at the end of the first half. And the score currently is Australia 0, Ireland 0. Ireland under quite a significant period of pressure in the last 10 minutes, probably through the whole half, but I haven't been privy to all of it. Okay, we'll be back with our final guest of the show after the messages. Now, the Council of the Bar of Ireland has recommended withdrawal of services to its members who are criminal law practitioners in pursuit of a meaningful, independent and time-limited mechanism to determine the fees payable to barristers by the Director of Public Prosecutions under the Criminal Justice Legal Aid Scheme. Aoife McNichol is a barrister from Gortahawk and joins us on the programme now. Aoife, thank you for your time today.
How you doing, Greg? Thanks for having me on.
Right, okay. So, I mean, maybe some people will have sort of got a grasp of what this is all about with my introduction there, but maybe, Aoife, you could explain it to us in more simple terms.
Well, I suppose at the crux of it all, that the criminal justice system at the minute, which obviously serves the public and victims of crime and so on, it's just under a huge amount of strain at the minute. And what this withdrawal of services is about is really that the cuts to fee.
Okay, if unfortunately that line's not fantastic, maybe you might be able to move slightly for us. I think you were going on to go on to say there that effectively, given cuts that were implemented during the financial crisis, barristers are down 40% in real terms over the course of the last couple of decades.
That's correct, Greg, and I hope you can hear me a bit better now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's since 2002, really, Greg, and those cuts, the effect of them really is that, you know, it's putting the criminal justice system, insofar as barristers are prosecuting and defending, under huge strain. And bear in mind, these cuts continue to be continuing in place at a time when the work has become obviously more, much more complex and burdensome obviously we're now in a digital era. Back in 2002, there was no such thing as iPhones and smartphones. So that's only one example of how cases have just become much more complex. And I suppose just to give you a history of how that 40% came about, first of all, in 2008, there was the removal of the link between the public sector pay in general and under the criminal. And then there was the FEMPI cuts that was applied across the public sector pay in 8% in 2010.
All right, Aoife, unfortunately, that line is failing us on again. It is an important issue. I wonder maybe if we might be able to reconnect with you on a better line tomorrow morning, Aoife. Would you be available if we could maybe make contact with you?
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll arrange that off. I mean, you might be very... Well, I'll just ask you one final question, if that's okay, and we can still return to it. What does the withdrawal of services look like from a public perspective?
Well, unfortunately, reluctant to do it, but we're at an impasse on this issue. And what it looks like is that there won't be a barrister available.
Right. Okay. That line isn't great, Aoife, and it is an important issue. So, if you or even maybe one of your colleagues will be available to us, we can return to that tomorrow. That's Aoife McNichol, barrister from Gore to Hawke, and unfortunately, just the line letting us down. Just to get that across, it's not locked in yet, as Aoife was saying, but it is a road that they feel they're being pushed down. A caller says doctors get a load of bad press, but dentists are worse, in this caller's opinion. They say that she was suffering with a toothache and could not get a dentist appointment at all. In addition to this, when you call the emergency dentist, you get through to a voicemail that tells you to go to Now Doc. Well, okay. Could you ask the gentleman that was referencing the American gender study why there are not 100% female utility, engineering, plumbing companies, construction, electrical, mechanical, sewage, etc., etc., and let them compete with companies that get the best person for the job, whatever that job is? If women want to go for these trades, they're more than catered for, seeing as there hasn't been a prospectus issued in the last 20 years that hasn't one of them plastered over the front of it. I'm not really sure that that's what that study was about at all. Maybe there was something mentioned within that piece that I missed, but I don't know exactly. I think you are making a point. I'm not sure if it is completely relevant to what we were talking about. Apologies if it is. By the way, it's halftime, 0-0. Brilliant to be going in at the break for Ireland, goalless against the host Australia. And it hasn't been an ugly game either. You know, sometimes when you see a team set up to play defensively, you think, right, it's going to be puke. But it hasn't been, actually. And there have been a few attacking opportunities for the Irish women as well. So it is halftime. 52 minutes in total played in the first half. Australia 0, Ireland 0. A caller says everyone has a responsibility for raising and looking after children, even if they are not your own. You have a duty of care. This will not be a 50-50 split 24-7, 365 days a year. It's a team sport and should be worked at as a team. That's why you talk it through with your partner. Still, probably better to have the fella fixing the roof and herself nursing the cubs. The design of the two dictates this. Maybe that was a man's brief. We can't all be blamed for that. Maybe it was a committee. You see, I think also too, this is a sentiment study about what men want. So you're saying men should fix the roof, herself could look after the cubs, but that's not necessarily what couples want or what the men want in a modern day relationship. Maybe they don't want it to be quite like that. Has the RTE commentator not got a soundproof box? I can't hear a word he's saying. I don't know. I'm not privy to the commentary in studio. I can just see the pictures. But look, stay with us here in Highland Radio and watch the pictures. The best of both worlds. Okay, it is Friday tomorrow, and genuinely, I can't believe we're through another week almost already. We'll be back at 9 o'clock with our Friday panel, another great trio of guests to talk through the major stories and issues of the day and of the week, of course. Michael and Fionnuala, I think, are in with us then from 11 o'clock until 12 noon, and plenty more in between to keep you informed and entertained. Thank you. If you listen to the show, watch the show, text in, however you engage with us, it's really appreciated. Stay tuned. John Bresson's coming up around the Northwest after the news and the news headlines, that is.